Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 13th chapter of St. Mark, the gospel text which has already been read.
Well, that's done. Baseball season, that's done. And corn and beans, that's done. The church year. Out on the farm, harvest season is done. Wood season began on Wednesday. 16 years ago, we built a house in the middle of a cow pasture. First thing, get out the rototiller, the serious rototiller. Then raised beds. Then planted apple, peach, cherry, and finally planted the chestnut trees. The trees stay put and bear fruit in season. Some years better than others. Had a real good year this year. Other things? Need to plant new seeds in the spring. Maybe even plant seeds inside while there's still snow on the ground. Then plant them in the ground. Then plant other things in the ground. Then add some water. Maybe take away some weeds. Strawberries come first in June, corn and beans, berries, lots and lots of peaches this year, onions, peppers, and then the chestnuts are always last, September-ish. Then put the land to bed, stoke up the wood stove. When my sister's husband says in the spring, pitchers and catchers Monday, I know what he means. He means it's the beginning of the baseball season pretty soon. First pitchers and catchers report, then the rest of the players working on fundamentals, conditioning. Then, spring training games. Then, in April, the actual games that count. And then, of course, the wild card games, then the LDS, then the LCS. Then the World Series. Odds are the St. Louis Cardinals are going to win for the 12th time this year. We'll see. Ordering. We do it all the time. We know all about ordering. Doing things in order. First this, then that, and then that. Around here, you plant your stuff in April, more or less. Do what you do during the summer, and then the harvest comes when? I guess when it comes, but never does the harvest come before the planting. You know how to bake chocolate chip cookies? You can put the chips, flour, sugar, salt, butter, whatever you use, you can put it on a baking pan and bake it and then mix it up. You could do that. It's probably better to mix the flour and sugar with water and butter, mix them up, then add the chips. Might as well throw in some M&Ms while you're at it, and then bake at 400. And when are they going to be done? When you grill a steak on the grill. When is it done? When you smoke that brisket, I'm not very good at that. How long before it's done? What about the ribs? But if you never put it in the oven or on the grill or in the smoker, that's first, then nothing ever gets done. Ordering. Ordering. We know all about that. The triune God, if he is anything, he is an orderly God. First things first. Before he began to create, there was nothing. Now, look around. There is something. And all of that something is made up of atoms. Before you can build that Lego structure, try building that Lego structure of the Lincoln Log House without Lego blocks or Lincoln logs. Try building a frame house without wood. Or a stone house without stone. Atoms are God's building blocks, and there's a lot of them out there. lot of them. And he's very orderly with these atoms. Hydrogen, atomic number one, has one proton in the nucleus. It's the lightest element. Moving down the line, hydrogen, atomic weight number two, has two protons in the nucleus, and on down the line. Very orderly. Moving across the periodic table, you have categories, ordering. It's a very orderly creation. Lots of metals, not so much metalloids, gases including halogens and the noble gases, and the chemists could go on for hours talking about that stuff. About alloys and different kinds of chemical reactions, different kinds of chemical bonding, and not all concrete is the same, nor is all wood the same. Ordering. Got your hardwoods, you got your softwoods, and all those woods to the wood burner represent BTUs. So first, God creates these building blocks, atoms. And then I think it must have been on some level a lot of fun for God to create all this. And by now you know the drill. First, light, so day and night. Then, put some water up there, put some water down there. Then mountains, hills and valleys to give movement to the water. Rivers, or not, lakes, seas, and oceans. Then God plants seeds. Plants seeds. On a much larger level than we do out at the farm. On even a greater level than you do out on your actual farms. More seeds than all the farms in Iowa. And when he combined all those hydrogen atoms with all those oxygen atoms at a ratio of 2 to 1, plants grew. And within each of those plants, seeds to bring forth the next generation and on and on and on. It's very sustainable. Then the planets moving around the sun. It's a heliocentric universe. The sun's at the center. To put it all in order, and the moon is pretty. Pitchers and catchers ordering. Then things that swim. Then things that fly. Then things that walk on the earth, each of those categories of animals different, requiring different kinds of flesh. Actually, salmon and trout look different from beef and pork, look different from chicken and turkey. And then, and only then, all in place, time for God's highest creation. And like our Creator, we are creative beings. We create things. We're orderly. And you don't have to explain to me the concept of first things first. Fast forward from creation to the fall into sin. Then the need for a Savior from that sin. Then the promise to Eve of that Savior. Then waiting for that Savior. That's what the Old Testament is about, waiting for the Savior. And it's not an uneventful waiting. A lot of stuff happens. And then, in what Paul calls the fullness of time, at the right time, then the Savior came. And he was called Jesus. That's what the word Jesus means. It means Savior. Then he grew into manhood. Then he was baptized. Then he went about preaching like had never been heard before, performing miracles like had never been seen before. Then he was sacrificed on the altar of the cross for our sins. Then he rose again. Then he ascended into heaven. And then, people talk about the second coming of Christ. They're talking about them. The first time, he was born with the animals. He lived out his life with the sinners. He died with the criminals. For most of the world, including many in his own time and place, he was not even noteworthy or noticed. Like for so many people today, including some who are close to us, who don't even notice Jesus. And last week, I think it was, the disciples asked him about the timing. The timing. of that second coming. And how will we know when it's close? What should we look for? Because you want to be ready, right? Because you want to have all your ducks in a row. Because you need to tie up some loose ends in your life. Because you want to get your affairs in order, right? If we could know when this is going to be. Come on, a little help, Jesus. Looking for a sign? Well, you heard last week, looking for a sign first. False prophets in Christ will arise. There's a sign, and that's done. There will be wars. There's a sign. There will be earthquakes and famines, signs that his return is close. That's done. Then you will suffer at the hands of church leaders, then at the hands of secular rulers, then at family who will turn on you. They may hate you, and so might others. Do you see those things? We see those things, and when we see those things, we know that Christ's return draws near. Those are your signs. But he who endures to the end of the age will be saved. And when you see the temple in Jerusalem destroyed, know that his return is imminent. So you might have missed it the first time he visited with the animals, with the sinners, with the criminals, but nobody is going to miss it the second time. It's going to be pretty obvious. You know that sun I was talking about, the center of this heliocentric universe, the source of all energy on the planet, the thing that powers your car, your house, yourself. Check out the numbers on the sun. How big it is, how hot it is, how much light and energy it releases every second. Well, that thing's going to go dark. You're going to notice that. That thing's going to go dark. Like happened during one of the plagues visited upon Egypt, God turned the light switch off then, and people noticed. He turned it back on. People will notice when he turns it off at the end. And when the sun goes dark, you know, so does the moon. And then the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavens will be shaken, not stirred. Then Jesus himself will appear, not with animals, to rescue those sinners and the criminals who repent of their sin. He will come instead in great power and glory. I don't know exactly what that means. It's going to be noticeable. Probably something like the 4th of July in Grand Mound, only more. And then will angels come like combines to gather his elect from the four winds, from the entire planet, sparing no one. Paul adds some detail and explanation. He says that you will hear the sound of a trumpet. And then the dead in Christ, the Christians, will rise first, commonly called the rapture. And I think we're going to notice something like that. So that's the ordering of things from creation to the babe in Bethlehem to the second coming. That's the ordering. And now he speaks to their original question. Not of ordering, but the timing of that last event. The timing of that second coming. He says, from the fig tree, learn its lesson. And who can understand what that means? I don't have any fig trees. You can't even grow fig trees in Zone 5. Maybe we can learn some lessons from the apple tree or the cherry tree. When you see leaves and shoots, you know that summer is near, don't you? And when you see wars and earthquakes and famines and persecution of Christians, do you see any of those things? Then you know that the next thing, the darkening of the sun and moon, the falling of stars, the second coming of Christ is near. And I don't see any of those things. Do you? This generation will not pass away before all these things take place. This generation, by that he means different times, different places, people are people. In this case, those people in that time and place wanted to know when this is going to happen. And people in this time and place want to know when this is going to happen. And some people think they know the time. They think they got it from the Bible. They're some of the false prophets that Jesus was talking about. And this generation will also in his time see wars, earthquakes, famines, and the persecution will begin straight away, and it did. And all those things have continued to this day, those signs that the second coming is almost here. It's why for 2,000 years the church has lived in the expectation that the return of Christ is coming soon. And when that happens, and it has happened, then, and only then, will come the next thing in the order of all things, and that's the end, the final. You've heard of reincarnation. It's the belief that you live, then you die. Then you live again, then you die again. Do you see a pattern developing? Your physical body, it keeps dying in reincarnation, but your spirit keeps living out different lives in different bodies. If you joke around about how in a former life, then you're joking around about reincarnation. Willie Nelson believes in reincarnation. He's very outspoken by that, about that. And his song, The Highwayman, is about that. The one that goes again and again and again, round and round and round. That's what that's about, reincarnation. It's a good song. It's on my Amazon Prime list of likes. Compare and contrast that, for example, to the songs we sing on this last Sunday of the church year. Different. Different. And soon that too, the church year, will be done. And what then? Another church year will begin next Sunday. We got, 150 of them all together under our collective belt. And the church year next Sunday will begin again Advent, then Christmas, then Epiphany, then Holy Week, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, Ascension Day, and the life of Jesus will be played out for us once again on the calendar of the church, with readings next year in series C, mostly from Luke. And the teachings of Jesus will be proclaimed again during the Pentecost seasons. Readings will be mostly from Luke. We don't believe that life is an endless cycle of living and dying. And Eastern religions believe that if you live a good life, you come back as a higher life form in the next life. But if you're a bad person, you come back as a bug. We don't believe that. Nor do we believe, as an increasing number of Americans believe, that when it's over, it's over. And that's why they live like they live, by the way. Nor do we, like a lot of Americans, claim ignorance. We just don't know. We just don't know. Can't know. The fact of the matter is that this thing has always been, still is going somewhere. It's going somewhere. As there was a beginning, and we are living in the presence, so there will be an end, ushered in by the second coming of Christ. First things first. First be born, then live, then die, and then go to heaven. And don't be distracted from that one great truth. The only thing in life that matters for an eternity, don't be distracted, and especially don't fall asleep. but always be on your toes. Those who died in the faith this past year and in the past, otherwise they did not and will not come back as bugs. They are in the paradise of heaven. And one day soon, Jesus will come for you to take you to that paradise in heaven. And this creation is pretty good. You can hardly imagine what that new creation, that better creation, is going to be in heaven. And then, and only then, that too will be done, and it will be done for an eternity. First this, then that. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise for prayer.